Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Adam Schefter might get credit for breaking the Pat Mahomes news, but he was actually a couple hours late to the party. It was actually a manager at a liquor store, Wade, who broke the news. Her name is Katie Camlin. She's a Chiefs fan. She works at a liquor store out there in Kansas City. And apparently, a Chiefs employee at 1:21 p.m. came in and bought six bottles of Dom P. Now, I know what you know about Dom P. You know, Wade knows about Dom P. When you buy six bottles of Dom P.
Never done that before, but keep going.
Something good happens.
Oh, no question about it. If you're buying six bottles of Dom P., something beautiful happened, or you're just tricking off all your money. Either way, you want to slice it. But the fact of the matter is that when she saw a Chiefs employee come into the building, saw that he had six bottles of Dom P that he was purchasing, she knew something had to be up, and apparently she broke the news, huh, Landry?
Yep, it was at Plaza Liquor in Kansas City. So, and you look through her Twitter feed, she's a diehard Chiefs fan. So the employee walked in, and she sent out the following tweets. Quotes. A front office employee for the Chiefs came in and bought six bottles of Dom P. Said there's a big signing today. He said it's not Chris Jones, so my guess is it's a Mahomes deal. Now, she ended up being correct. However, she deleted the tweets because she didn't want to lose them as a customer. And that's probably smart if you're in the liquor business. If someone buys six bottles of Dom P, you don't want to lose them as a customer. She also didn't want anyone to get in trouble at her work. So she deleted the tweets, but I'll be damned, about an hour later, the news broke, and Pat Mahomes had, in fact, signed with the Kansas City Chiefs the record-setting deal.
Yeah, man, you got to love it for Pat Mahomes. He's a $500 million deal. He's a $500 million Mahomie now, and so he's going to be set for life. She saw it first. And listen, I played for Kansas City, and I know – that area around the stadium, it's not the nicest of areas. And so, you know, when you get a Kansas City Chief employee coming in there and purchasing liquor from your place, you don't want to mess that up. You don't want to trick that off. And so she deleted the tweet, which was a smart move. And she was the manager, so she was the type of person that would think of it that way. Like, I'm excited about this. Well, oh, wait a minute. Let me reverse my course a little bit and not mess up a potential long-lasting relationship. But you know she had to be happy. She was probably calling all of her friends, calling her whoever it may be, mom, dad, cousins, husband, whoever it might be, to let them know that Pat Mahomes is going to be there forever, it seems like. And she broke the news before Adam Schefter ever did.
You think she regrets deleting it?
I mean, if she's the type of person that loves the attention, I'd have to look through her timeline on Twitter.
She actually said she was overwhelmed by the attention and was going to sign off for a while. So she actually is one of those people who I don't think really –
just a genuine fan.
It wasn't cloud chasing.
Yeah, she's just a genuine fan, and she just got excited because her quarterback was going to be signed. So I can respect that. I actually can appreciate the fact that she was willing to delete the tweet because she didn't want all that attention. That's something that's a little bit different these days in 2020. So you can appreciate – what was her name again?
Her name was Liquor Store Lady.
Liquor Store Lady. I thought I was about to say Kristen, but I don't know why that name was stuck in my head. I don't know why that name was stuck in my head.
I don't know. On the why is Kristen stuck in your head?
I have no idea.
713-572-4610. Her name was Kelsey. No, it wasn't Kelsey.
About to say Kelsey.
No, I wouldn't know Kelsey.
Was it Travis's?
Katie Cameron.
Katie. It was a K. I knew it was a K, and it wasn't Karen, and so that's why I was like, I don't want to call her a Karen because that's tough these days. So, but I was like, it's something with K. So there you go.
It's Katie Cameron.
Shout out to Katie.
Other quarterbacks who've signed decade-long deals as we go around the NFL. Wade Smith in for John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Drew Bledsoe, he signed a 10-year contract in the early 2000s. We know how that ended up. Donovan McNabb signed a 12-year contract in September of 2002. And then you had the 9-year contract Mike Vick signed in 2004 with 1 year remaining on his deal in Atlanta. So basically, Pat Mahomes is either going to get hurt, he's either going to fall off, or he's going to run a dogfighting business.
See, the difference between those guys and Pat Mahomes is those guys, none of them were considered the best quarterback in the league at the time that they signed these extra long deals. They were all done to keep a good quarterback, but to make sure that they could work around the actual salary cap and so they could keep certain guys and they'd be able to maneuver. Pat Mahomes' deal is legitimately like, hey, this guy's the best in the league. We're going to pay him the most in the league because he deserves to get paid the most in the league. And here you have what amounts to a 12-year, over $500 million deal. You got to love it.
But McClain was doing that. I didn't understand McClain counting the next 2 years as part of the contract. I don't understand.
You can make numbers mean whatever you want
deal.
Them to
that
mean.
That has nothing to do with it.
I mean, listen, I don't want to put John McClain in the category with a lot of the media and the way that things get misled. But it happens from time to time. You're going to see people kind of put some stats out there that sound a certain way, but they're actually in reality, that's not the truth of the matter. You got to get to the crux of the issue. I'm glad you held him accountable and let him like, hey, that was part of his rookie deal. I think we kind of swayed him a little bit. I don't think he's as down on the contract as he was when he first got on the call with us, but that's what you got to do with John McClain. You got to, you know, do a little back and forth with him and so that you can get him to understand your viewpoint and then keep it pushing.
He wants the dialogue. Eric Bieniemy with the Kansas City Chiefs. I wonder if he's going to be a head coach somewhere else next year. I wonder if Eric Bieniemy is going to be coaching Pat Mahomes on the final stretch of his contract. I really wonder if this discussion was even had. I know you're shaking your head. McClain says he'll be a head coach next year. My question is, would you rather hang around with Andy Reid for 4 or 5 more years and then have Pat Mahomes, or would you rather just go take a head coaching job?
I'd rather be my own man. And I think that's a situation where Eric Bieniemy is going to want to go somewhere else and make his own way and put his own stake in the ground of like, this is who I am and this is what I brought to the table. And so I don't see him waiting around 5-6 years because Andy Reid, he's relatively young. He's going to be around for a while. And I mean, he's got all the answers to the test. It reminds me of Tom Brady said, yeah, I mean, he's going to have to eat better. He ate real good after the Super Bowl, got his cheeseburgers and all that type of stuff. But, hey, I'm sure his wife is taking care of him and looking after him, making sure that he does the right thing, start eating better.
Any more quarantine pounds?
I hope not. I think he did like John and you and both Johns, John Lopez and John McClain and you. You guys have worked out and lost weight over the quarantine. I'm going to say that Andy Reid had that same sentiment because – in quarantine, it's going to be one way or the other. It's going to be feast or famine. You're going to eat too much or you're going to work hard and get it off because it's just been a lot of sitting around and you don't want it to go to the body. You don't want to go to the hips. You want to try to get those abs right if you can.
The Eric Bieniemy thing is interesting to me because I would entertain the possibility of being the highest paid assistant and just taking the torch from Andy Reid, but I can get what you're saying. But I will say this. And maybe we can agree on this. Sometimes in life, there are blessings in disguise. You don't get the opportunity that you initially wanted, and then a better opportunity opens up, or what you thought was going to happen doesn't happen, and eventually things work out better for you. I do think that Eric Bieniemy got lucky not getting a job this offseason, because I would not want to be a first-year head coach with limited face-to-face time with my players, with the way the offseason is going. So if you are going to get that first job, I might want to get started during a traditional offseason instead of this one.
So I agree with that sentiment wholeheartedly, that sometimes things don't work out that you thought that they should be a certain way. And because it didn't work out the way that you thought it should, you end up things you know, working out better for you. It works out for the better. But last year, if he would have been the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, could you imagine Eric Bieniemy being the coach of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and just what the Cardinals would be going forward if he was there? That opportunity, I mean, he should have gotten that job before Cliff Kingsbury did.
He you think
didn't.
He was ready then? I don't know how Eric ready Bieniemy? He was.
It was last year. Yeah, he was ready. I mean, Eric Bieniemy.
Before last year?
Yeah. Eric Bieniemy, listen.
That's not to compare Kingsbury. I mean, he had a losing record at Tech.
Exactly. So, I mean, Kingsbury wasn't ready, but he's come in and did a decent job, and hopefully they can take another step forward as far as that organization goes. But Eric Bieniemy, that opportunity, I think, would have been a great one for him, a great fit having Kyler Murray as the quarterback. And he would have been able to work wonders in that scheme, or because it would have brought his scheme there, and he would have been – you see that organization is doing things to put pieces in place around Kyler to have a hell of an offense. And so Eric Bieniemy, that would have been a great opportunity for him. But he's going to get opportunities in the future. I agree with John McClain. He's going to be a head coach, maybe not next year, but for sure by 2022, he will be a head coach in the NFL.
In the meantime, get that jewelry, though.
No question. He might get another ring or two while he bides his time and waits.
Coordinators get those rings. Belichick had a couple before he became a coach. It's valuable experience. I know it's not head coaching experience, but when you are there and you see the process of getting to a Super Bowl, it has to be. Now, it doesn't always pay off, but it does. It's got to be some very valuable experience, to say the least. Eric Bieniemy, we'll see how that works. Pat Mahomes, very rich guy. It's around the NFL here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. There was some big news yesterday involving the best team in town. And I heard some reactions that made me absolutely sick to my stomach. Some of you people, and I'm talking to you people, sicken me. I'll tell you why next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Astros creeping back on the field. See what I did there, Figgy? Yesterday's practice was canceled as they awaited test results. However, they're back on the field. They're at the University of Houston. Every position player in attendance except Yordan Alvarez. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez. The boys are back on the field. You know, all that panic yesterday, it was really just about getting the results. They got the results. So far, so good. Stroh's back on the field, getting ready for the season.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing. They're back on the field. Like you said, there's only one guy missing. That means that the results came back good for everybody else, and then they actually added Urquidy came back now?
Urquidy's not back.
Oh, he's not back.
So Urquidy and Yordan are the only ones
okay,
out.
Okay, but they didn't add anybody to the list that is missing, so that means that they're in a good spot there. And hey, the fact that they're back on the field practicing, the fact that the schedule came out yesterday, that just gets you more excited, gets me more excited about the fact that baseball is on deck. We're going to actually be able to watch Major League Baseball despite all the terrible negotiations between Rob Manfred and the MLBPA and all the negative PR and press that's come along with those negotiations and what we have to look forward to next year, after next year with the potential strike. At the time being, right now, we have baseball on deck about 3 weeks away. You got to love it.
You got to love it. And it is, as soon as 17 days from now, the Astros will open the season at Minute Maid Park against the Mariners. Only 8 games for the Astros outside of Texas and California. 4 national TV games, 3 of those against the Dodgers. Sign me up for that. And there's also going to be some late starts. So the strong majority of Astros games are more than you would usually expect are going to start at 8:10. We're going to have 8:10 starts. And some people have been complaining about this, Wade.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go straight to hell on scholarship. If you've been living in this sportless world where for 103 days we were supposed to experience, 103 days ago we were supposed to experience opening day, and 251 days ago was the last time we saw the Astros play when A.J. Hinch wet the bed against the Washington Nationals in Game 7. If you're complaining about late starts at this point, you suck.
Really?
You suck.
Especially in 2020, because in 2020, you can start watching a game. If you got to go to sleep because you got to wake up the next morning, you can DVR it, and then you can watch it later on. You can come back home from work and watch it. You can watch it when you, as you're getting ready to go to work that next morning. But anyway, you slice it, to complain about that, you just got some, natural hater in you. We got to get that hate out your blood, because it's not good for you. It's not healthy. Be excited about the fact that you can watch a sport that you've loved probably for an extended period of your life, your entire life, and now it's back. Despite all the negative things that surround the sport, it's going to be the purest form of baseball on your TV 17 days away.
And not only that, you can go to bed early and not watch the game sometime in the future. Hell, there might be a strike in a couple years, and you'll have all the time in the world to make it to bed in time and save that extra hour. But when you have a team with a World Series window and you have the best array of talent that this city's ever seen, God forbid that for something that happens once in a lifetime that you have to stay up an extra hour. And God forbid that in a world where we've gone damn near 4 months without live sports and we haven't seen the Astros play, God forbid you have to stay up an extra hour. Give me a damn break, anybody complaining about this.
Hey, Landry, is Twitter going to break when the Astros play against the Dodgers?
It's going to break national TV. Against anybody.
I think against that Dodger, when they play the Dodgers, Twitter's going to break. Against anybody, they're going to get hated on. But Twitter is going to absolutely shut down when the national televised game between – or series between – it's just a game, but the game between the Dodgers and the Astros. I can just see that happening.
And there's going to be three of said matchups on national TV. It's going to be exciting 17 days from now. Let's hear from some of the key players for the Astros, as well as the guy that's replacing previously mentioned A.J. Hinch, Dusty Baker. Here's Dusty Baker talking about what he's seeing from his ball club as they return to the field, specifically the bats.
It seems like the hitters have been hitting. You know, the countdown is here. So, you know, the guys are busting. You know, it's almost like game situation. You know, it seems like he's in form, and George and, Altuve. I mean, we got some, you know, Michael Brantley. I am amazed at the quality of players that we have.
You should be.
I'm loving the positivity out of Dusty Baker, but I'm probably going to need you to do a deep dive. You do this such a great job at this, Landry. I got to get you to go back and listen to some of Dusty Baker's interviews in the past to see if he's just that positive all the time. Because listening to Dusty Baker right now, I get more excited. He sounds like he's a kid in a candy store, and I got to figure out, is this just because he's really excited about what he's seeing out of the guys, or that's just the way Dusty Baker is?
I think it's a combination of him having the most talent that he's ever had, and I think it's a combination of being away from the game for, you know, a couple years, retiring, and now getting an opportunity to win that World Series, which he's never won. So I think the excitement's there. And also, let's be honest, we all got a little bit stir crazy the last few months. I mean, getting back out there, he's got to be very, very excited. What about Carlos Correa, who, my gosh, I'm so proud of Carlos Correa. He is finally becoming a man. Here is the Sparkle Prince talking about the anticipation of the Astros beginning the season in 17 days.
For us as hitters, there's no room to have a bad start or a bad month. It's not like you have 162 games where you have a bad month and you still got five more months to recover. This is only 2 months, so you got to be able to be consistent throughout those 60 games and start strong and stay consistent.
I'm so proud of Carlos, because Carlos Correa, who, by the way, we've had some fun with the Sparkle Prince and the Sparkle Princess, his wife, Danielle.
Oh,
they are a perfect couple, because Carlos, I've learned over the process of their relationship, just coming together and them having the same last name, he's just as extra as she is.
Our love story.
But Carlos is keeping his woman in check, because at the top of the ESPN headlines 2 days ago was the story that Carlos Correa is not allowing his wife to go to the salon during the season because he does not want to increase the chances of him getting the coronavirus. I am so proud of you, Los.
I don't need to say anything more than that.
Hey, it takes some guts. It takes some stones about you to put your foot down over something like that, especially by him knowing his wife.
Especially when
he knows his wife. She's Miss Texas. He knows that her keeping her nails done and going to the salon is just a normal part of it. It's just like as normal as us getting up and brushing our teeth every day. That's what she does, and that's something that she truly enjoys. But you see that she was willing to buy into it. And that's what's going to be a huge determining factor of which teams are going to be the most successful and stay COVID-free, or who's willing to sacrifice themselves and the people around them doing something that they would seem as common and normal for the sake of, hey, the greater good. We're trying to win a championship. We can't get COVID positive tests because if so, I might share it to somebody else. We might be out for a couple of weeks and fall out of the race. So I can respect Correa. I will say this, though, Landry, if you're going to call him Sparkle Prince, doesn't that have to change now since he's gotten married? Shouldn't he be the Sparkle King? It shouldn't be the Sparkle King and Queen now?
She's the Sparkle Princess. Her mom's the Sparkle Queen because her mom had a business called the Sparkle Queen.
Okay.
So that's how she became the princess and he became the
prince. Hey, guys. Welcome back to my channel.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to the next installment there. It's kind of weird for Carlos, too, if we're talking about the Astros, because this is a guy we've been looking forward to, not looking forward to, actually kind of dreading when Los gets on the market. And he really hasn't taken it. He's still been one of the best in the game, but he hadn't taken the big step that you've expected him to. He had 2 years to really establish himself as a guy that's going to justify, and he still might, the $25, $30 million that we see handed to ball players. He got that cut, that piece of pie and that opportunity to prove it cut significantly this year, to where you're going to have the 60 games this year and you're going to have the full season next year. So Carlos is, I mean, it's a urgent time for Carlos more than most.
Yeah, the pressure is on for him. He's got 60 games to do it this year. Of course, you got next season, but then there might be a strike after that. So he's going to he's kind of put himself, everything with sports has to do with timing, and he's kind of got some bad timing when it looks at him being able to break the bank. But Carlos Correa's biggest deal is, can he stay healthy? If Correa stays healthy, he will be a high-paid athlete. He will break the bank. He will perform at a very high level. He's very similar to me, like Will Fuller. Like when he's out there and he's healthy, he's damn near a dominant player. But when he's not, then that's when you see the struggles. And so Carlos has to figure out a way to stay healthy all year. I can appreciate the fact that he's telling his wife, like, hey, chill out on the salons, chill out on getting your nails done.
That's part of staying
healthy.
It
is a legitimate part of staying healthy in 2020, so you got to respect that.
It'll be interesting to see what Los looks like. He's going to be a rich man regardless, but he's excited about the season. We're excited as well. 17 days till the Astros, the best team in town, take the field. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. A candid version of Deshaun Watson and a combo platter of part one and two of the Texans position series next.
Watson, yes!
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Texans position series continues tomorrow, 11 o'clock. Tight ends give you a combo plate of what you may have missed today, coming up very shortly. Deshaun Watson sat down with Carmelo Anthony. Candid Deshaun, talking about why things are going to be different moving forward. Now, Wade, they've been good.
They've been good
3 years with Deshaun. But they're going to change and things are going to be different for the better, it sounds like. Here was Deshaun with on the What's on Your In Your Glass podcast with Carmelo Anthony, talking about the difference in year four compared to the three previous.
Learn the history about the game. Learn the history about the game. Get educated with that. Build your knowledge and be able to be comfortable with the person you are today, and the person you are. It took me 3 years into the NFL to actually realize, okay, this is the person I am. This is how I like to dress. This is how I like to talk. You know what I'm saying? To be comfortable with that. If you can have that energy and that confidence and know the history, because you don't want to come in not knowing the history and you're stepping over boundaries and now you're looking crazy. That's why I've been quiet. And I feel like this is a perfect opportunity for guys to be able to learn and educate themselves. So whenever you get to that moment, you won't feel the pressure that most guys felt, you know, coming into the lead and feeling like you got to, you know, be a certain way to make sure you stay in the lead.
Yeah, man. When you come to a point in your life when you become self-aware and you can understand where you stand as a man and how you are or as a woman, but how you are as a person and what you need to do to improve and get better, that's when you make the biggest gains. That's when the most strides are made. Whether we're talking about the NFL, we're talking about just professional in careers in general. Like, listen, as a person, as you mature, you become self-aware and you understand, you know, where you are in life, what you can do well and what you need to work on. If you have that self-awareness, you become a better person. And I think that's what you're hearing, a maturation of Deshaun Watson and how that's going to pay dividends for the Houston Texans going forward.
These are kids, dude. Like, I mean, yeah. Go 21 to 25. I don't want to. Like, I don't want to say on the air everything I was doing 21 to 25. I mean,
you might get in trouble. You might get yourself in trouble.
Shoot, I graduated
college. Statute of limitations are up, though. You'd be good.
I graduated college at 25. I mean, I was
a super, super senior, huh, Landry?
Medical degree without the education. But the point is, these are kids, man. Like, just because they're in the spotlight doesn't mean they're not kids. So, Deshaun taking that next step, very encouraging. But what about the guys that he's throwing to? We'll get into the receivers in just a sec. But before we do, we've talked about the Astros being 17 days away from returning to the court. Rockets 23 days away. Mike D'Antoni's apparently got some jokes.
Oh.
Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni said he's going to wear a mask, and he was asked about social distancing. Now, we know that there's a theory that Mike D'Antoni's teams don't play a lot of defense. The Rockets' defense has been criticized. D'Antoni was asked about social distancing and having to stay 6 feet away.
Mentioned something about being standing 6 feet away, making sure. How do you coach like that? I mean, you know,
because that's
sometimes
how we guard
just
anyone.
You touch guys.
And that dude stepped on his joke. He said, that's how we play defense anyway. That's how we guard anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if they guard like that, if they do that anyway, it's going to be a quick season. They're going to be out of that bubble quicker than you want. And so that's the part of the Rockets game that they're going to have to improve. They're going to have to be consistent shooting the ball. They're going to have to play good in transition as far as on the defensive end. They're going to have to be able to play half-court defense at a high level if they want to advance to the NBA championship. They had a tough lineup that's on the West Coast that they're going to have to get through. It's a full-on gauntlet that they're going to have to play. And if they stay if they fall to the seventh seed, it's really going to get tough. But the Rockets, I looked at the power rankings today, it popped up on my screen on Instagram. They're ranked number five. They're number five in the NBA as far as the power rankings to win a championship. You got both LA teams, the Raptors and the Milwaukee Bucks that are listed ahead of them. The Rockets are right there, and they got a lot of talent on this roster. They got a lot of guys that have been through battles. Just got to get over that hump, and social distancing on the court ain't going to get it done.
Already got a break from the Lakers with Avery Bradley not playing. There was talk that Dwight Howard might not play. He announced yesterday he is going to play. So Dwight Howard, former Rocket, will be on the court for the Lakers. Would have been another nice break for the Rockets, but not going to happen. Texans position series, starting with the wide receivers. Smitty and I have a disagreement right at the top of the depth charts. Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks. I think Will Fuller is the top receiver on this team. Wade Smith's going with Brandon Cooks as his top receiver.
Yeah, I got to ride with the guy that has 4,000-yard season and has been a number one receiver throughout his career. Off and on, Will Fuller has never been the number one receiver on a roster, and so I'm gonna base it off of that. I know you make some good points, and John McClain kind of echoed those a little bit about the fact that the chemistry that Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson already have in place, and there is something to be said for that. But hey, give me Brandon Cooks. He's the guy that I know I have a lot more confidence that he's going to be in the lineup week in and week out. He's a 1,000-yard receiver, run every route on the route tree. He's a playmaker. And so either way you slice it, the fact that you have two guys that can be two number ones, that's a good position to be in for the Houston Texans.
A couple interesting nuggets about these guys. I didn't know Brandon Cooks cooked the way he did.
What you mean Cooks? He like a chef? Chef cook?
Next level.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he's getting supplies shipped from Europe that he cooks with and oils and all that stuff. Like when you talk about – I'm talking like making the pasta by hand – like next level cook.
So if you're a cook, if you're sipping stuff from overseas, you're not a cook, you're a chef. And if you're a chef,
no, he is.
You are someone that is a stickler for the attention to details.
Yes.
And that translates well for being an NFL player, for being a wide receiver in a complicated offense. So like I said, Brandon Cook, number one guy.
Next level when it comes to that. The interesting nug about Will Fuller.
What's that?
No more dreads, man.
He cut him off.
No more dreads. It's kind of weird when you see it, but Will Fuller no longer has dreads. We've gotten used to him. So you're going to see Will Fuller out there, no dreads, which means for the first time in a long time. Gosh, why do I keep bringing this up?
Stop doing it to yourself, Landry.
It's going to be the first time that we've had a receiver without dreads on this team.
Now my heart
hurts. I
thought
Will was going to carry the dread torch. It's gone.
But hopefully for Will Fuller, it's not a situation where it's like Samson in the Bible. You don't, because if you cut your hair off and then all of a sudden you fall off and you can't play anymore, that's bad ball. So Will Fuller, he's going to have to prove the naysayers wrong and the history that came through in the Old Testament of the Bible that, hey, I can cut my hair off and still play at a very, very high level and be that number one receiver that Landry Locker so claims he is.
Let's go get it, Will. Go get paid. That's the top two. Randall Cobb got some money from the Texans. A lot of money. Slot receiver. The slot receiver hasn't really been a strength of the Texans in the O'Brien era. Probably even at his age, best slot receiver they've ever had. A lot expected from Randall Cobb. I mean, he damn sure better produce when you're getting that $6 million a year, not just this year, but next year as well. It's going to be a new element to the offense. We'll see what happens here, Wade. We'll see.
The thing about Randall Cobb is this. He's a veteran guy. In this scheme, the slot receiver is pretty much the most critical guy. You look at the Patriots over the year, the Wes Welkers and Julian Edelman's, those type of guys. The slot guy is the one that makes the most hay. The slot guy becomes.
See, you're doing it. Those are good players, though, Wade. Those are great slot receivers.
They are.
That ain't no system. That's the guys.
They had their best years with New England Patriots. So that's part of it. You put them in other systems and make them play on the outside. They're not going to be quite as good. They don't have Tom Brady throwing the ball. So it is. It's not a chicken and egg. There, it goes hand in hand. But I will say this. Randall Cobb. He's the guy that has the most potential to be the whoopee for Deshaun Watson because he's the slot receiver. And in this scheme, that is the guy that gets the most work, at least when it's being done the way they want it to go. When they have a vision of what the offense looks like, it's somebody that works the seams on a consistent basis. That's the guy that's the most dependable guy. That's the guy that gets the ball on third and critical. And so Randall Cobb will have plenty of opportunities to make plays for the Texans.
In the Loop, Texans position series combo pack. Isn't the slot receiver more so than the outside receivers? You want to get on the same page as the outside guys, but isn't the slot guy, and you could say everybody, but I'm talking for the most part the slot guy, isn't that as much about recognition and seeing guys, seeing the blitz, picking it up if you are going to have a successful slot receiver? So we've talked about Deshaun taking that next step. Isn't that connected to the success that Randall Cobb could potentially have in the offense more so than any other position?
No question about it. And the reason why that connection is so critical is that when you throw the ball in the seams, that's when pick six happens. That's when you have linebackers. There's a lot of bodies on the in between the hashes when you play football. There's not as many bodies out there on the edges. There's a lot of one-on-one matchups. And so when you're throwing balls in the seams, you're throwing balls on outs to the slot receiver, you got to make sure that you're on the same page so the ball's not going the other way, 60 and 70 yards to the house. And so it's critical that Randall Cobb gets on the same page with Deshaun Watson early on. It's going to be difficult for them this year because the circumstances that they're approaching the season with are out of their control, and they're abnormal. And they're going to have to adapt and adjust to this and figure out a way to get themselves in a position to play at a high level very, very fast, because you come out to shoot with the Chiefs and the Ravens, and then you got Pittsburgh somewhere within those four games. After the first two games, I don't remember who's next, but they got a bunch of good teams right off the bat. I think they got Minnesota in the first 4 weeks. It's going to be tough for the Texans to start off the season.
You talk about trust. You talk about Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson having trust. Last year, if you just go through the season, week one, under a minute left, go-ahead touchdown, Deshaun Watson to Kenny Stills. Biggest regular season game of the year, if you look back at it, on the road against the Tennessee Titans. First two touchdowns of the game, Kenny Stills. Kansas City, opportunity to host the AFC Championship. The only time the Texans scored with Deshaun Watson, a quarterback, a touchdown on the opening drive, Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is the X factor here. He can line up anywhere when it comes to looking at this wide receiver core. Kenny Stills is a guy who got a pretty high ceiling, and this is a guy who could... Not saying people are sleeping on him, because we're very aware of what Kenny Stills can do. Don't be shocked if Kenny Stills doesn't emerge as the whoopee or Old Faithful for Deshaun Watson in some way, shape, or form, whether it be something happening like someone getting hurt or just them expanding on the highlights that I just mentioned in 2020.
So Kenny Stills, to me, he is the Duke Johnson of the receiving corps. He's the guy that I just would pray and hope that can get the ball as much as possible, but he's the guy that I feel like is going to mess around and get kind of lost in the shuffle, and that's going to be unfortunate. You got to figure out a way to get Kenny Stills the ball. You got to figure out a way to get Duke Johnson the ball, because they consistently show themselves as matchup problems for whoever that you line up against them. And so the fact of the matter is that you brought in Brandon Cooks and you have Randall Cobbs and you got Will Fuller. Your receiving core, there's only one ball to go around. And so how do you maximize Kenny Stills based off of how talented he is as a player? And how do you maximize Duke Johnson? Those guys, to me, have very similar just similar skill sets as far as how often they're going to touch the ball in this offense. And I just don't want him to get lost in the shuffle. I want to see Kenny Stills get the ball as much as possible, get as many targets as he can, because he takes the ball and does something with it when he gets it. And he makes big plays. He makes critical plays. That's what you want to see out of your fourth receiver. I mean, that's crazy. For most teams, he's a number two or number three. Mm-hmm. On this team, you can argue to say that he's the number four, mm-hmm. and they just got to figure out ways to get him the ball.
I don't think you even have to argue. I mean, that's what he is.
But see, if I was the coach, he wouldn't be my number
four. But you got to have a number one to me. So you could say he's the four, but I don't even know if they have a number one.
Brandon Cooks is the number one receiver. He's been that in his career. He's shown that. Now, if you look at it and say, well, Brandon Cooks last year didn't put up number one receiver numbers, you're exactly right. And so this league is all about what have you done for me lately. So if you're going to base it off of that, right now the Texans don't have a number one receiver because nobody on their roster had a season last year that is worthy of a number one guy. But when you project it out and you look at what Brandon Cooks has done throughout his entire career and what Will Fuller does when he's on the field and healthy and what Kenny Stills can do, you really could argue that you have three number one receivers because all of those guys have played in those roles at some point of their life.
Man. Wade's getting high on life right now. We're talking three number one receivers. Who needs DeAndre Hopkins? Good Lord.
No, I'm not saying that now. Don't get it twisted. I'm just talking about their ability. They still got to get used correctly. And that's something that's one thing that you got to worry about with the Houston Texans is, are they going to be used correctly? I've seen Duke Johnson not get the ball when I'm standing on the table to get him the ball, and he never got the ball. In the game against the Kansas City Chiefs, he should have had 15, 20 touches. I think he had like three or four. I mean, he didn't get the ball. Not and so that's what the Texans have to do. They have to figure out a way to get Kenny Stills the ball, figure out a way to get Duke Johnson the ball. But then you do that, and then all these other guys that you got on the roster, they go to the waste as well. There's only one football. They got to figure out a way to use all these ingredients correctly. And that's the part that gives you the most concern.
The ingredients are clear. What's the recipe, though? That's the question when it comes to the receivers. And then what are those extra ingredients? Is it going to be DeAndre Carter, Kiki QT? We'll stay tuned there. Could Tyler Simmons or someone like that emerge? Be interesting to see.
You know what will be interesting to see with these depth guys is I feel like they're going to keep, like, all of them. I think they're going to expand the practice squad rosters. So they're going to have four or five receivers on the practice squad just because they got four legitimate receivers on the regular roster. You got to be able to replace a guy at the drop of a hat just because of the coronavirus. You got to worry about losing guys for a week or two here or there. So, you know, we talk about all these receivers. I think a lot of them are going to be around for the duration of the season just because you got to keep as many numbers as you can.
That's a good point right there. Wade Smith, Landry Locker. Position series, we'll be short with the corners because, quite honestly, we don't feel very good about them. Gary and Conley, okay. Lonnie Johnson, we'll see. We're not trying to – we just don't know what Lonnie's place is going to be, and it's early on in his career. Vernon Hargraves, nobody wanted him last year. Basically, hopefully you can have some fun. John Reed, the rookie out of Penn State. If y'all didn't know, that's Vernon Hargraves mic'd up. The only corner that Wade Smith feels 100% good about, and I feel all right about him, but the guy that Wade Smith feels excellent about is the guy that's going to be counted on to be your number one corner this year, Bradley Roby.
Yeah, very high on Bradley Roby. What he showed me last year is that you can put him against the best receivers on the opposing team, and he's going to hold his own at worst, and a lot of times he's going to have good to great ball games. And so if you can get that out of your number one guy, especially a guy that's only making about $12 million a year, that's beautiful value for that position. Everybody else at the cornerback spot, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of youth. There's a lot of up and down play throughout their careers. But you do have that one guy you can count on in Bradley Roby. Lonnie Johnson is a guy that you want to see find a home, stay there, and figure out how to be his best at that particular spot. He doesn't strike me as a guy that you want to move all over the place. So if that means that he's playing safety next to Reed, if that's the case, hey, let that be the case. If that's the case, we're talking about safeties tomorrow.
I mean, we're going to talk about safeties tomorrow. If Eric Murray's not starting, Wade.
I'm saying, what lets you know that he would be starting? Like, what has he done that you say, yeah, for sure he's going to be the starter? I mean, does he have that track record?
I had to go to Wikipedia first to see who the hell he was.
That's,
who?
That's not the best look if you want to have confidence in who's going to be the starting safety next to Mr. Reed. So I tell you what, man, Eric Murray's going to have a lot to prove this season with the guys around him in the locker room, because right now you got all these new guys coming in.
You got like 30 special team safeties.
They haven't proved anything to anyone yet. Everybody is doing stuff virtually. Nobody knows if these guys can play yet. So when training camp gets here and you have that 4 weeks of training camp or whatever it may be, depending on what they do at preseason games, there's going to be a lot of pelts that have to be earned and a lot of respect that has to be earned by some of these new guys on the roster, because the returning guys saw guys leave out the building. You know, David Johnson's going to have to prove himself to his teammates throughout training camp. You know what I mean? He's done some stuff in his career, but he's got to prove himself here. There'll be a lot of guys that have to prove a lot of stuff to their teammates to get themselves ready to play for this season.
Interesting. Training camp, hopefully at the end of the month. That's part one of the position series. Again, tomorrow, Joel Corey's going to join us at 10:20. We're going to get a clear, I promise you, clear picture of what Deshaun Watson's going to be looking for. I guarantee you that. At 10:20, Stanford Rout's going to join us at 12:40. You know how that always goes. A little well-spoken Wednesday action.
Not DB, a corner.
And we're also going to talk about DBs, not corners. We're going to talk about safeties at 11 as the position series continues. Our safeties at noon, and then at 11, we're going to talk about the tight ends. Is the water polo tight end on his way out? Smitty, it's been a good one, man. Appreciate you.
It's always real, fellas.
There we go. Wade Smith with the catchphrase, Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do. Thanks to John McClain for joining us. Coming up, Landry Locker in for Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.